time for us, maybe today, I would say, in the latest in the evening, to think a little bit what we would like to take along with us. So I've chosen a very, very important verse which explains the best mindset for a devotee as he goes through this life and through this world. So it will be very, I think there will be a lot for each one to take along with them. So let us start. Gokrishna, the thing. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Mraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Mraja Jana Ranjana. Yamunachida Vanachari. Yamunachida Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. A little bit louder, if possible. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Parar, Prabhu Parar, Prabhu Parar, Shila Prabhu Parar. Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala Radha Kanaya Lala Shri Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai Raya Gauranitai Gauranitai Siga Gauranitai 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 Siga Gauranitai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today a verse which Prabhupada marked as the guideline for all devotees. So it's very, very interesting if we go deep into this. Because of time limitations, we will just do it quite quickly. Please turn around. You will have the Sanskrit there. Tate nukampang susamikshamano. Tate nukampang susamikshamano. Bunyana evatma kritam vipakam. Yana evatma kritam vipakam. Ritvakvapurbhya vadadang namaste. Vakvapurbhya vadadang namaste. Jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. Yes, can I please someone else? Tate nukampam susamikshamano. Could we have one Vaishnavi chanting, please? Tate nukampang susamikshamano. Namaste. Thank you very much. Tat. Therefore, te your anukampam compassion susamikshamana. Earnestly hoping for punyanaha, enduring eva, certainly atmakritam, done by himself vipakam, the fruitive results. Rit, with his heart. Vak, words. Vapurbhi, and body. Vidadhan, offering. Namaha, I think we all recognize this word. Obeisances. Te, unto you. Jiveta, lives. Jaha, anyone who muktipade, to the position of liberation. Saha, he, dayabak, the rightful heir. The translation, let me just give you the context. This is a verse spoken by the creator of this world, Lord Brahma, after Krishna had revealed his extraordinary powers and also mercy to him. The verse reads like this. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. I would like to read to you Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse from the Nectar of Devotion. It comes under the heading of expecting the Lord's mercy. But before, I would like to point out, this verse describes a person who has given all other types, who has given up all other types of spiritual practice and only performs bhakti. This is a verse which describes what devotees in our movement have done. They don't place the main emphasis on meditation. They may have done other spiritual practices before they came to Krishna consciousness, like mindfulness, yoga. Many of you, I see a few of you who come from the yoga field. I was into a little bit into meditation and European mysticism, but all this has been given up. And now we have recognized, well, let's only perform bhakti. That is sufficient. We don't need anything else. So what should this person, how should he deal with life? How should he deal especially with an experience which we all have in the material world? That is, things don't work out the way we want. How should we relate in this state to Krishna? All this is described, and you will very soon see how so, and you will pick up important guidelines to manage your own life in Krishna consciousness while still being here in the material world and dealing with Maya, the illusory potency of the Lord. So here, the verse is for you. Prabhupada says, this statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. What again was this? If it's so important, I may just try to concentrate. Okay, for those of you who are not yet fully here, I will repeat what the verse says. It is describing a devotee who still receives karma, like bad physical illness, or even more disturbing, certain mind patterns, maybe sometimes enviousness or anxiousness or a competitive spirit, you know. So the devotee is advised here to patiently tolerate this while at the same time using his human endowment, that is the body, you know, human endowment, the gifts of God, human body, the mind, and our speech in the processes of bhakti. And if he simply, and while he does this, he should wait, O Krishna, my life is not yet ideal. I experience sufferings. But if you wish, give me your mercy and show me the right path. Such a person, my dear devotees, will automatically get liberation from these sufferings and get Krishna's lotus feet. That is what it says. So here Prabhupada says, this statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. a devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. This would be wrong expectation. Now, immediately I should be blissful like who's blissful here? Satya. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences. Because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying. It's not just suffering. Karma is not just giving you suffering. It gives you also enjoyment as a result of our past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there's no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce any new karmic reactions. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. So Prabhupada a little later will describe what should happen when impediments arise. Or these are the obstacles, these are the disturbances in life which we all feel. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim, his right, to enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, so there is a little longer the purport. If you want, you can read it. I do not know any numbers in my life, but this number, I know where to find it. It's on page 91 in the Nectar, English version of Nectar of Devotion. And it describes, in this chapter, it describes sadhanas or spiritual practices. So this is a spiritual practice. Your karma washes over you and you turn to Krishna and expect the Lord's mercy. This is a practice. This is a sadhana. This is one of the many spiritual or devotional activities which a devotee in this world does. It's amazing, no? So often we suffer, and at that moment, I know devotees come to me, and do you know what I do? Devotees suffer. Why do they suffer? Often it is the mind. Then it's very often relationships they suffer. Then desires or need, like having children and not being able to conceive, is spreading more and more. What else do I see? Many things. And mental, just not feeling well, losing faith, and so on. And all I do in my preaching, I try to find out, okay, what is left in terms of faith here? And then I address that faith and try to turn the person's attention to Krishna and Krishna's mercy. And if that works, I'm not such a good preacher, but if it works, then I always see devotees feel solaced and free and can give up the greatest miseries in their life. I have seen this. It's certain you have to have a little experience, and the devotees should not see what you're going to do. What is it what you're going to do? You would say, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. That's your message. It has always been like that. But it is now psychologically or yogic or mystically explained. But the point is, you need to find this this thing in life. So let us now study this verse a little bit from the viewpoint of the enlightened acharyas. I will read to you the commentaries of Prabhupada has been done. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Baladev Vidyabhushana. It will be quite, you will have to use your intelligence to understand it, but it will be simply presented in simple words. So, the mindset which you have is extremely important in your experience of life. It, in fact, will totally describe if you are happy or miserable. It is dependent on the mindset. You all, in ISKCON, this has become widespread. The glass, I could say to this glass, "Ooh, my God, this is lemon juice, it's half empty." And I would be depressed, I would maybe curse the cooks, and so on. But I could also say, "Wow, half a glass of lemon juice, wonderful, my morning is the best morning." Mindset describes your experience. The experience takes place in here. It is dependent how you look at the world, and that will describe. Often we think, no, the world, Maharaji, I'm suffering because of others. No, you suffer because here the mindset is not proper, or is in a certain way. Good, so this will be, we will hear a lot about this morning, but let us first of our base, Sister Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasani Govakavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first understanding a person has who has turned his life to bhakti is when things do not happen the way he wanted and intended them, when he's maybe suffering, but also when an unexpected happiness comes his way, an unexpected gain, an unexpected achieving a goal, he can understand, I'm at the moment experiencing the results of my previously performed activities. Therefore, he concludes, I don't need to be attached at the results. This is just the material energy working on me and working on my life. But I will be very attached to something else. I will be attached that I use this human form of life to dedicate my body, my voice, and also my mind in Krishna's service. He's very attached to this. It's called bhajsevayam, to use his whatever he has on the spiritual platform. I want to give you an example. When I came to the summer camp, the room where I usually stay, it's a very good room, was not available, so I came to another room where sometimes the exhaustion fumes of the car come in. So my mind began to, oh no, my room is miserable. Then I thought, just tolerate. This is part of this world. After all, you came a day earlier, so the room was not available. And just, when the cars come in big numbers, you just close the windows. So simple. You have some... when I was entering this mood of tolerance, I became very productive in my devotional life. And I thought, I'm here now. I came all the way from Brussels. I'm not here because of a room, the best room. Why am I here? I'm for bhakti here. So I will use my body, I will dance, I'm not yet dead. I will dance with my body, I will sing with my body. What will I do with my voice and with my mind? With my mind, I will just remember Krishna and try to help the devotees in whatever service I have here to remember Krishna. And I became very attached to this. I thought, let me not be attached to the room. That room, little miserable room, little miserable room, not very, it has its advantages also. But my mind, I don't want to waste my time here. Whatever free minute I have, body, heart, mind and voice should be engaged in Krishna's service. And I'm trying my best. Especially in the evening, I'm a little tired, like many of us, but I'm there for Badahari's kirtans. I don't go away earlier. I come as early as possible. Then I will also dance. I will sing loud when we have to sing loud. Sometimes he says to the men, they should lift the ceiling that they're singing. So then I sing. And by doing this, I just feel so happy. My dear devotees, you can't think yourself out of this material energy. You have to act in bhakti. Then, as the verse describes, it becomes your rightful claim. It's your right. You will get liberation from material sufferings, and you will get the lotus feet of Krishna. It's your right. Now, Sridhar Swami explains to us, first of all, Jiva explains to us an example of someone who uses his heart, voice, and body in this way. Let me first there, and I request Gokrishna to find me 10.14.5. It's the same chapter, you just have to go back. There Brahma gives us an example what you can do with your body, what is your schedule, what you can do with your heart and with your voice. Brahma remembers those who have achieved bhakti and what they did. And here he says, O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world, he refers to devotees, not bhakti yogis, no? Achieved the platform of bhakti or devotional service by offering all their endeavors, that's what you do with the body, unto you and faithfully carrying out the prescribed duties. That's what you do with your heart. You have just faith in doing your activities in Krishna consciousness. Through such devotional service, perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O infallible one, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. Brahma said, in the past, there were people who had this simple program. With their bodies, they did something for you. With their heart, they carried faith in their heart. And with their voice, they did devotional service, perfected by the process of hearing and chanting, Acha, they did kirtan about you. And this is how they came to understand you, O Infallible One, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. Do you have sometimes difficulties to surrender? I have it all the time. But I have noted, if I just do something for Krishna, if I cultivate my faith in Krishna, and if I do kirtan, and I think I can do anything for Krishna. It is tika, sab tika, like this. This verse, if you like verses or like Krishna conscious philosophy, you find it in 10:14:5. No? 10:14:5. Thank you. So now Sridhar Swami comes in. You can understand there is this super verse, and all kinds of acharyas want to talk. I have also a point here. I have a point, says Sridhar Swami. If you want, he gives an example that gives us hope in this world. An example which motivates us also to perform these activities in devotional service. He talks of the outcome. The outcome is you get Krishna's lotus feet. And he says, this is sure. Don't doubt this. And he gives the example of a son who simply, of a rich man's son, who simply has to stay alive, and as a result, he will get the inheritance of the father. I know in my own life, my father is now 96 years old, and he told me recently, yes, when you were joining, I took everything away from you on the inheritance because you would distribute it to others. But I have written some. I know you would still distribute, but I have written something. There's something is in there, and I said, my dear father, I only want that you become 120 years old. I'm not thinking about this at all. I think it's immoral when you go to your father, okay, when will you die and I get my inheritance? This is totally unethical. I think you will agree with me. But it's an example which tells us that some result is sure to arrive if you stay alive. So Jiva Goswami now says, okay, what does it mean to stay alive in bhakti? And he says, you need to become the faithful follower of Krishna, the faithful devotee of Krishna. If you just breathe, but you are not Krishna conscious, then you are not really alive. Then your lungs are like the bellows. Wie sagt man das in Deutsch? Bellows. Blasebalken, nicht die Blasebälge, in the workshop of a blacksmith. These are the lungs which, when you are not using your time in bhakti, it's just Blasebalg life, you know, bellow, he says. But if you are alive, that means you engage in bhakti, not in dead material activities, then, my dear devotees, you will get the lotus feet of Krishna, first of all, mukti, that is liberation from material existence, and then pade means you will reach Krishna. Lotus feet is not that you just reach get feet, you get the whole person with his priceless ornaments, his crown, and his love. That is very sure. Just like a person needs only to be alive. Now, Jiva Goswami says, is it really that sure? Do we just have to do our regular activities? Or is there maybe something we have to stay cautious about? Yes, there is something. We should avoid harshness of the intellect and other such bad traits means Charakterzüge, that are not recommended in bhakti. It's simple. When you have many brothers, and we are all brothers and sisters, but if we quarrel amongst ourselves, or if there is some rotten apple amongst us who just fault find, criticize, as his main daily meal, you know. Then the other brothers and sisters say, please stop this. And if he can't stop it, their feeling of sympathy gets smaller and smaller. And they might even say, if you don't like us this much, why don't you go some other place? We don't want to see you suffering and wasting your breath with meaningless criticism. No, so that's the only thing we must care for. We must be aware. And do you know where criticism starts? In the mind. How did you know? Because I have a mind. When you find yourself getting down on the road of negativity, which after all is unfortunately natural in Maya's kingdom, better say that this is now a dangerous path. If there's something that needs to be corrected, that is something else. But if there is just this, I don't like him, I don't like her, and look the way his dhoti is today, this is impossible, you know, and so on. No, that is not good amongst brothers. But if you don't do this, then it is very good. Now, at this time of the lecture, the philosophically inclined Hare Krishna devotee will say, Maharaji, in the Brahma Sanghita, it says that a devotee is free from karma. How does this verse say that the devotee still suffers due to his previously performed activities? Devotee is free from karma. I thought like this when I was young. I ate a lot of sweets and did not brush my teeth. And now I have a very problematic relationship to the dentists, very problematic relationship. I must say, that this was a karmic reaction to my carelessly eating. I always, we had a big container of laddus in our preaching van, and Ashok Kumar, my preaching partner, had cooked them. He's a fantastic cook. So whenever we arrived, the container was half empty, and he said, "Sachinanan, what happened with our laddus?" I said, "I don't know. Open your mouth." And it was full of laddus. Still, so yes, Hare Krishna. We were young, very young, very young, very young. So yes. But in general, what is it that we suffer mostly about, and what is it that gives us most joy? Would you like to hear? It is true that a devotee's karma is reduced. There may be some slight karma here and there, but over and all, he is not really, when something goes well, it's not the result of karma, you know, in preaching, for instance, and so on. No, what is here is, in the case of a devotee, the term, the results of his own deeds, or atmakritam, refers to his activities in bhakti. When you do activities full of bhakti, you feel joy. But if you do aparadas or offenses, you feel after some time distress. Have you noticed this? Is this something within your experience? That when you really try to do devotional activities, you feel just, wow, svejuredu. Everything is all right. Svejuredu, what language is that? Everything is all right. But when you are making offenses against the processes of devotional service, guru apparat is there, nama apparat is there, seva apparat is there, Vaishnava apparat is there, you know, then it gets a little, the whole experience gets, I can't see that this is very spiritual. Your vision becomes cloudy and you cannot see any longer the joy of Krishna consciousness and the spirituality and the pureness of Krishna consciousness. But you get sidetracked and you get lost in not such important issues and vision. God. This is but I will now talk to you in another voice. The content will now be extremely practical, which you hear, and I will address whatever Western mind we have. I see that sometimes when we hear such dense philosophy, we switch off sometimes, especially when we are you. When we are new, when we are new. My dear devotees, I will ask you a question. Who of you agrees with me? I will say something now. My statement is, we often learn the most from our most difficult experiences. Who agrees with me? No, you are not recorded here. Who disagrees with me? It's good to disagree. Oh, my God. Hare Krishna. We often learn from difficult experiences. My most difficult experiences take place at the border of life and death in hospitals. And when I get anesthesia and go into another state of awareness. Now, my dear devotees, if you have agreed, we often learn the most from our most difficult experiences. Please try to agree with me on the second statement. When there is a difficult experience, try to not see them as negative. Try to see them as your greatest teachers in life. And the moment you switch from this mindset, oh no, so difficult, oh no, this is impossible, you will switch, oh my God, what can I learn here? And you see them as teacher, and you become, after some time, when you see like this, you understand your life lessons and become very blissful, very blissful. Oh, good, and so on. So, but we consistently do the mistake of focusing on these pain, the pain which is in these difficult experience, the disappointment which is there in this difficult experience. We consistently do this thinking mistake. It's due to an old habit of material consciousness that we do not appreciate the teaching which is given there, and therefore we suffer more. These difficult experiences, my dear devotees, shape our character. It makes you come more alive, and it makes your talents, which are still dormant, they're sleeping, you have not used them all, you bring them out. For instance, in illnesses, when you focus, okay, what can I do now? I must say, I had COVID and I was in bed, which is rare for me. I mean, of course I'm every day in bed, but not staying nonstop 24 hours. And I was thinking, okay, should I now? I was trying it. I welcome you, COVID, I said. I'm happy that you showed me my limitations and what is there to learn. And I learned an awful lot, you know. I got it because of some foolishness, which I did, and so on. And I learned. Good. My dear devotees, when stumbling blocks roll into your path, stumbling blocks means obstacles, you know? Don't stop. Use them to build a beautiful staircase so that you move up in your spiritual life. Don't lament. Wounds which you receive when you do not lament often turn to wisdom. No? Wounds to wisdom. Both starts with double V, and so on. And the last message I would like to leave you in this lecture with is, have patience, as this verse said. My dear Lord, any person who constantly, sometimes the word patiently is used, awaits your causeless mercy. He becomes he gets the most precious gift of your lotus feet. My dear devotees, there are things in our life which we just can't figure out at this state. A few days ago, I talked to one devotee who looked for my advice. This devotee persistently comes into a situation where he gets into difficulties with others. And now the devotee asked me, Maharaj, I can't understand. I'm giving my best. Why do I always come into difficulties with others? So I knew this devotee from the beginning, and I wanted to tell the devotee something, but some hint where he could look. But something said, no, don't say it now, because if you say it, the devotee can't see this yet. As of yet, and he will lose faith in your advice. If you tell someone something which he cannot yet understand, then it's not helpful for the devotee. So I told him, have patience and pray to Krishna that he gives you insight, and you will see after some time. And I remembered something which I read 30 years ago from Rainer Maria Rilke. He's an author, very thoughtful person. He said something so nice. Have patience with that remains unsolved in your heart. Don't try to figure it out. No? This answer. Try to love the questions themselves, like, what should I learn? They are like locked rooms and like books written in a foreign language. Do not now look for the answers. They cannot now be given to you because you could not yet live them. It is the question that is important. What should I learn? Do you know some of the solution to everything? I mean, the highest solution is surrender fully. no individual plan for your own, what you like and what you dislike. No. Who of us is ready to do this? Maybe Damodar Prasad. It is a rare level of high faith, of high purification of the heart, and so on. So, naturally, there are questions in our life, but they are like locked rooms. How do you open a locked room? Key. What a simple solution. Thank you. So, the key to resolve these locked rooms, these unresolved questions in our life, which are there within all of us, the key is the simple, in the simple verse. Be patient. Understand, this has come to me, this situation, because of my karma, or if you are higher advanced in Krishna consciousness, because of my mistakes which I did, my aparadas, where I did something wrong to devotees, or the nam aparada, or seva aparada, or what it is. It is there, but I cannot yet understand. Let me now, as I'm suffering patiently, let me just use my activities, body, what was it, the heart, where the faith is, and the words, let me use it in bhakti. And this is the key, my dear devotees. And one day you will open the door of that room and think, here, ooh, why couldn't I see? Oh, now I can see. Oh, yes, this is easy to give up, no problem. Solved, finished. Clear. Hogya. So that will come. That will come. With this verse, you lock open every closed room in your life. Do your bhakti and wait for Krishna's mercy. Pray for Krishna's mercy. Please, my Lord, have mercy on me. When I was a little child, my parents took me to the North Sea. You know, where we live, we have on one side the Baltic Sea, Ostsee in German language, and on the other side, the North Sea. So I did not like to go to the Baltic Sea because it's called a Binnenmeer. The waves are not so high. But the North Sea, wow, I like to go. The waves can be easily from here to the ceiling. So when I was a little boy, I always appreciated adventure very much. It made me come alive. So I came into the North Sea, and when the big wave comes like this, it just washes you on the beach, and you get bruised all over. But only when you stand up, then I developed a trick, little boy. You know, all bleeding here, but not giving up. Then I went into the Northern Sea, and when the wave came, I just went like this. Vroom! And the wave just washed over me, and I said, So this is how, it's a good tip for life, you know, when the waves of whatever it is, either karma or or the reactions to aparat wash over the go, become humble, you know, go down, bow down, Mr. and Sister, and say, Krishna, help me, please, and everything will be all right. I remember this very distinctly as a young boy. Oh, I was so foolish. I was bound on a rope so that I would not. Brother had to hold the rope when I was there, because sometimes you can be washed out in the ocean and gone are these times of youthful ignorance. Good. This is the presentation which I thought would be nice for us in closing. Once again, I really recommend you to read this verse. Those who like to take notes, it's in 10:14:8. No? 10:14:8. And you will find this beautiful, very insightful purport of Srila Prabhupada. The purport there is also good, is also very nice. But I like this very much because it speaks so directly to me. You will find this in the Nectar of Devotion. I don't know where in German, but the heading is Expecting the Lord's Mercy. It's in English in page 90, so you know it's in the first third of the book. And it, Expecting the Lord's Mercy would translate as Die Barmherzigkeit des Herrn erwarten, something like this. No? And you can look it up and take it as a guideline. I really would recommend you to digest this, to think about it. Maybe you want to, some of you want to listen to the lecture again in the recording, because, you know, Prabhupada, can it go more important? Prabhupada says, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says, this verse describes a person who has given up all other types of spiritual practice and only performs bhakti and answer. And what is his mindset so that he attains you? Hare Krishna. I have reached my end. Do you have any questions to all of this, what you have heard? Yes, Shisha, is it? Please speak loud enough.
I'm trying just my voice.
Try.
I will try. In the beginning, when I at least hear that this life we should be patient and just wait for our karma from the past go away and that we will in the future, then we will have results and we will get saved in a way. Coming from a Christian background, where this is something how I always understood it in a little child, my Christianity is life comes, you are just there, you somehow survive it, and you pray and hope to the Father in heaven. And when I hear to this, I have listened to all what you have been saying, but what would you say the essence is the difference of the approach to both of you?
Yes.
How does this apply to us?
The devotee will think that these so-called sufferings are my teachers and will welcome them in their life, whereas the mindset which you described is different. It's just like a donkey standing when he's beaten and have you ever seen these poor donkeys? It's fatalism. Now he thinks it's my teacher, and now he gets really, he wants to get out of it. But the way he gets out of it is he performs bhakti and prays for the causeless mercy. The important point here is when misery comes, is the glass half full or half empty? No? This is what you need to see. You need to learn the lesson, but you're not so attached even to this. Am I miserable or happy? No. Attached you are to bhakti. I have seen a very wonderful example of this. There is a great person. I do hope I get the name right. I believe her name is Suchirani. She is the mother of one devotee called Ananda Tirtha. And very nice devotee. He's married, has children. Very nice devotee. So her last days came, and as far as I remember, she had cancer. Very painful. So the question was, how should she manage her life the last? And she decided, I want to perform bhakti. I don't want to be just focusing on my cancer. And her way was, I mean, she had a house in Vrindavan. She was used to Vrindavan. Let me go to Vrindavan and attend the Govardhan retreat. We all said, wow, my God, but really? So we put a mattress on a little bit to the side, just next to Giriraj under a desire tree. There was a devotee who would give water. And she listened to the lectures and the kirtans in really very acute pain. But she chose nectar over pain. I can be in the bath. I can be in Burijan Prabhu's Bhagavatam class. Wow! Yeah, Shiva. And I looked at her and I thought, is this true? Another devotee, Janakinath. Janakinath. You must know Janakinath. When he came in the room, you couldn't miss him. He walked like, what is the word? Bopping. You know, he like dancing. And he said, I show you a magic trick. Oh, yeah, why not? And then, boom, some magic trick came from him. And then he made a very deep Krishna conscious point. He was such a preacher. He had cancer. Do you know what he did? He went to TEDx, TED Talk, said, give me 20 minutes. I will talk how I deal with my cancer. So he gave a fantastic TEDx talk. You can see that. If you want to find the link, go to Gokrishna, you can supply. And he, what did he do? He made in his last days a cancer society, or what is it? There's some special word, cancer care society, something. And told people, cancer patients, or the cancer community, how to deal with the pain. So Gokrishna and myself had the chance to talk with him a few days before he left the body. And you could see he was skinny. He had 3 surgeries done. He was, as the call started, he was just moving with pain on the stretcher. And Sutapa was there and said, do you need pain medicine? You know, we know what that is. That's morphium on that stage, you know. He said, no, I want to listen to Maharaj because it affects your consciousness. So then, but you know, when you're there and you have to talk to such an exalted soul. So we chose to talk about Krishna and about his question, what when I die and I can't think of Krishna? That was his anxiety. And by Krishna's mercy, there is a verse in the Vara Purana which takes all this anxiety away, where the Lord says, if you can't think of me at the time of death, I think of you, don't worry. And he heard this and felt so relieved. It was a big anxiety for him. And you know, he chose Krishna over... He chose bhakti over this. It's, you have to learn the simple lesson, which you may say have said already 50 times in your life to devotees. You have to apply it yourself. It is a deep thing. It's, by the way, even on internet. I don't know who started this example. It's I think it's not from us. We must have picked it up, but we hear it so often. So it's and to choose that Shrisha is not fatalism. No. It's active dynamic spiritual practice. It's the total opposite. It is you don't stand there like, oh, yeah, just wait. No, that is not where your consciousness is. Your consciousness is, okay, what can I do? And as you do it, this is something new for the Western mind. The Western mind believes in arguments, in thoughts, and so on. Bhakti doesn't believe in that. It says, do bhakti and it lifts you out. You can't think yourself out. You have to act yourself out. It's therefore, Rupa Goswami, in describing bhakti, what does he say? He says, do these 64 things. What? I thought it's a feeling. But now I'm told to act. Yeah, feeling will come. By the way, Western psychology has also found something about it. Sir William James, those who study psychology will know he's one of the founders. He said, it's not that we laugh because we are happy. No. What? No. It's not that we laugh because we are happy. No. It's because we laugh that we become happy. Acting. Good. So, time is there. We have one more question. What do you think, Prabhus? Is this important or not? Or and will you remember something, or is it just, oh yes, that morning was something? Prabhus, this is a key. Please look it up in your own time. 91 in English, Nectar of Devotion, 10, 14, 8, and try to bring it in your life and act according to that. Very important. Good, it's now I'm looking, who I can't see. I wanted to turn to them. Is there a, yes, your good name, please? Nanda Kumar Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I just wonder, so we have this difficulty, and we don't know why, and we have to choose bhakti, and sometimes, you know, we mentioned these examples of devotees who just went for it, and we see that don't have strength. I'm not choosing. And then there's this moment, this pause. How I view myself, how I treat myself at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. When you can't win. Yeah, wonderful question, Nanda Kumar. I thank you. Do you all recognize that this is a very important question on this subject? No? I don't have the strength to do it. When we recognize we are weak at this moment, overwhelmed by the circumstances, I think we often recognize this. I'm very weak now. I'm not like Janaki Nath or Suchi Rani. I mean, these are extreme examples, I admit. My dear devotees, please listen now very attentive. This is another atom bomb which will come. It is something which I believe will be new for many of you. You can turn your weaknesses into strengths. It's not a cheap coaching trip, advice. There are very good advices in the world of coaching. You can turn your weakness in bhakti into your greatest strengths. Do you know this? Well, what? No, when I'm weak, I'm in Maya. I'm totally gone. The moment, my dear devotees, you actually acknowledge, I'm very weak, you will change your mindset, and you will become genuinely humble. There is a difference between being chic, you know, and to being real. Many of us you know, in Krishna consciousness, it's schick, we say in German. It's very, you everyone will like you if you say humble things. Oh, please forgive me my offenses. That's a slogan in England. I always ask the devotees, what offense did you do? He's not thinking about this. He's thinking, let me say something humble. Why do you ask me to forgive you offenses if you didn't do anything? I can't understand your logic. Maharaj, I need to take Vishala. Hare Krishna. If you are genuinely humble, it means you really feel sorry for what you do. It's really, and you don't excuse yourself any longer. You take the responsibility for what you did. And you really feel, oh my God. Oh my God. Ooh, what a fool I am. And that at that moment, you attract powerful mercy. Let me say, you have to, it's not that simple. You feel genuinely humble, and but you continue to act in devotional service. That is the time when empowerment takes place. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and I know some of you read his books, The Spiritual Warrior, he said something so beautiful. Please hear about it. It's really nice. I have to now really try to remember it. You know? When you genuinely feel incapable to do something, but you still act without hesitation, at that moment, empowerment takes place. It's such a nice sentence. Can I maybe ask Bhanu Nandini, you have it, can you find it? I want to read it how he says it. It's so beautiful. And Nanda Kumar, it will answer your question. Thank you very much. Where is it? Yeah. When you desire, here it is. Are you ready to listen?
Yes.
Really? When you desire to serve, no, wrong. When your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment occurs. Once again, it's so beautiful. Can you see how beautiful it is? When your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, yet, or however, you act without hesitation, that is the moment empowerment occurs. Occurs means happens. No? So you feel, I'm so weak. And you really, when you really feel it, maybe you don't feel it enough, when you really feel, I cannot do this, I'm so incapable, but you still give a little whatever you can do. Maybe a prayer before you go to bed. Something, Krishna help me, I couldn't chant more than two rounds today. I ate that kesa with this cheese with animal lap, oh no, I can't forgive myself. And what did I look on the internet? Oh, this horror movie, and so on. Oh, Krishna, please. The point is we remain proud, or we don't turn to Krishna properly. We don't take advantage of our weakness and understand that we are not as great as we thought. And but the moment Krishna sees, do you have seen our acharyas? They say, Krishna, please give me your mercy. I'm the most fallen. And you said you would give your mercy to the most fallen. So my claim is first. They don't say it in a chic way. They mean it. This is when mercy comes, when you are humble. This is when kirtan happens. That's why our best man, our Badahari Prabhu, is singing such nice kirtan. Have you noticed? He is very humble, genuine humble. Have you noticed? Speak with him, you will find out. He's not a chic humbleness person. And that's when Krishna comes in the kirtan. And we feel we want to dance now. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So, I'm over time. I thank you very, very much. It was a great honor. Please forgive me. When I have a point, I'm sometimes speaking a little strong. I cannot get it out of my vocabulary, these strong words. I'm sorry. I think you understand. I really want to give you something wonderful, some wonderful shloka. Good. I wish you a last day. Don't be sad. It's the last day. Don't allow this. Is it sad? Yes, good sadness, Krishna conscious sadness. But then also think, okay, now I will go into life and I will apply some of the insights I had made in this summer camp. No? Summer camp or retreat part two is starting tomorrow. No? And use the time well. Which we still have today. All the best. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.